You're listening to KVNF Regional News. I'm your host, Patricia Naft. The Colorado Department of Transportation says Red Mountain Pass, south of Ouray, is still closed and will likely stay closed in the coming days. That's after large rock slides last week damaged the road and also some backup power lines for the region. Climbers and rock scalers have been on the scene over the past few days, clearing debris, bringing down boulders, and stabilizing the cliff side where the slide happened. Still no word on when the road could reopen, but CDOT says they'll have a better idea by tomorrow. It didn't take long before tempers flared during the first full week of Colorado legislative session. In the state's Senate party, leaders had an intense back and forth about a Republican bill to repeal universal background checks for gun purchases. Benta Berkland analyzes the dynamic as part of our Capital Conversation series.
Joining us today, we have Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald and Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Sentinel. We're early on to the session, and already we've seen a lot of politics, especially in the Senate, about infighting between the two parties. This comes on the heels of opening day speeches where they talked about bipartisanship and working together.
Well, first of all, nobody believes the opening day speeches. I mean, they always do that. They always say that. And secondly, it's a political year, and so it's typical for that second year to have this partisan, silly politics stuff. It's, you know, they call it the silly season for a reason. And we're seeing a lot of silliness right now.
Joe, can you just sum up quickly what's recently happened? It centers around one of the gun repeal bills that Republicans are hoping to move forward.
Sure. So Senate Minority Leader Bill Cadman, a Republican from Colorado Springs, thought that a gun repeal bill was supposed to be introduced by the previous evening. And he got up in the Senate the next morning and just harangued Senate President Morgan Carroll for delaying the bill, sitting on it, saying she was trying to keep it away from public view, playing politics with the bill. Then he held a press conference to expound on that point. Then throughout the rest of the day, it turns out that basically there was just kind of a paperwork misunderstanding. The bill actually had not passed the deadline to be introduced, and Democrats signed kind of a order that allowed it to be delayed in case they wanted the hearings to be scheduled later so more people could get here.
And Joe, this back and forth wasn't the end of it.
No, it wasn't. The next day, Senator Cadman said that it appears there was an absence of malice and it was just a misunderstanding. But then just a few hours later, his caucus had a big press conference to decry where the committee that their bills were being assigned to. They were being assigned to the State Affairs Committee. The open secret is State Affairs is the kill committee. The most partisan Democrats, the most partisan Republicans in the safest seats sit on that committee. This is something that's gone on for, I think, decades in this building. It's a concept invented by Republicans when they had the majority. A lot of the senators who were complaining about the kill committee when they were in the majority a decade ago sat on the kill committee and gleefully killed Democratic legislation, like civil unions, like anti-poverty bills.
And Charles, just as Joe is saying, this is pretty typical that if you're in the minority, you have to expect some of your bills, especially controversial ones, would go to, quote, the kill committee.
Well, that was humorous about the whole thing, because the day before when Cadman was talking about, you know, the rules were being broken, Democrats were following the rules. The rules that, in fact, had been set up by the Republicans, as Joe said, decades ago, and that's the way the procedure works here. And so when you're following the rules and then they're yelling at you for following the rules a day after they said, you know, they were yelling at you for not following the rules, which they were following the rules. I mean, that's what makes it so stupid and silly. People are just rolling their eyes right now. What's going on? It's just outrageous. What I think is going on, what it seems to me is going on, is the Republicans have picked up a lot of momentum from the gun bills. The recalls last year and, you know, and now a narrowing of the number of people, the split in the Senate. And so they're trying to keep that momentum going into the election year. This is my 18th year, and every election year, it's silly that way. It just seems more silly to me now, maybe because I'm getting older and I'm having less tolerance for it. But it's just, it's silliness. It's almost nonsensical silliness.
Charles, some of the best adverb usage I've heard in a long time. Thank you. And you say that the rules are being followed. You know, for me, though, there's an unspoken rule that's being followed to a T, and that's the rule of news cycles. And I'd like to think I'm self-aware enough as a reporter to know my role and the press corps' role in this whole thing. What's going on is there's just such an absence of a compelling agenda on basically either side. Republicans, they're running bills that they've run in past years and have died, or they're trying to repeal things that Democrats passed last year at great cost to them politically. Neither is going to happen. Democrats also are not running a whole lot. The main bill in the Senate is a bill for college funding, which basically can be done through the budget. You almost don't need a bill to do what they're looking to do. All the political reporters in the state are here. And when Republicans want to call a press conference to complain about obscure procedural rules, it's not like there's some competing hearing for us to be at. It's this or nothing for a story that day. In the absence of policy stories to follow, this political silliness becomes the story of the day.
Thanks. That was Joe Hannell with the Durango Herald and Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Sentinel. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and this is Capital Conversation.
A British company is moving forward with plans for mining oil shale just west of the Colorado border in Utah. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is reporting the company, known as Tomco, is planning to mine about 3,000 acres of oil shale in Unitaw County. The company says it expects to produce about 126 million barrels of oil in all from the oil shale and about 9,800 barrels of oil a day. Just weeks after the county's first legal marijuana stores opened in Colorado, President Barack Obama says he doesn't believe the drug is more dangerous than alcohol. In an interview with The New Yorker, the president did acknowledge his past use of the drug as a kid, describing it as a, quote, bad habit and a waste of time. But Obama also told the magazine legalization efforts in Colorado and Washington have helped to tackle the problem of minorities and poorer Americans getting locked up more often for drug charges than middle-class Americans. The president did, however, say that people claiming that pot legalization could solve social problems are, quote, probably overstating the case. National parks across the country are open for free today in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That includes the Colorado National Monument in Grand Junction, as well as Arches, Canyonlands, and Utah's other national parks. Other free days coming up this year include President's Day weekend next month and the opening weekend of National Park Week in April. Stay tuned for the Monday morning music mix with Go Betty. For KBNF Regional News, I'm Patricia Naft.